Today on More to Life, grudges and grievances. Are unresolved grudges or resentments getting in the way of your relationships? Struggling with forgiveness? Let us help you clear the air. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today, we're talking about grudges and grievances. The fact is, you know, we've all been hurt by somebody, and sometimes those hurts are hard to get past, whether they are big or small, whether they affect relationships with people that are close to us or people that we don't see as often. The fact is, we are all challenged to forgive, to heal, to reconcile when people hurt us. And sometimes that's easier than other times. We're here to help with that. Are you struggling with what you think might be an unresolved grudge or resentment against somebody who has hurt you in some way? Maybe you're struggling with what forgiveness means in your particular situation. Or perhaps you're having a hard time getting someone to forgive you and get past a grudge they're carrying against you for something they feel you did to them. Let's talk it out and find some ways to connect with God's grace and heal. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'd love to have you be part of this conversation.
You know, I think this is such a complicated situation for so many of us. Letting go of the pain that somebody has caused us can be so complicated, especially if realizing that you've been wounded in some way has come to your realization months, years, even decades after the experience has actually happened. Because very often, whether we're children or adults, especially if we're children, but even if we're adults, we are so busy getting through the experience of somebody who has hurt us in a way that they didn't immediately recognize it and apologize, that it just became part of a toxic relationship system, that they did something and then pulled back and left you to clean up the mess. Whatever those things are, we so often are busy cleaning up the mess, figuring out how to survive it, figuring out how to get our proverbial ducks in a row, that it takes getting to a different stage of our lives, maybe a quieter moment in our lives where we're thinking, why am I still carrying this feeling, this pain, this sense of loss, this sadness, this heaviness? Why am I still dealing with this, or what is this? And then we recognize it. And then we think, well, now what do I do? You know, either that person's not in my life, or I'm bringing up this old, old stuff with somebody who is in my life. Is this even okay to do? Is this possible to do when I'm just supposed to, like, forgive everybody because I'm a Christian? It can get really complicated for us and often challenge us to figure out how to heal, even if it takes courage, even if it takes working through something and we'd rather just kind of close the door on it all and forget about it. If God's calling us to heal, He's calling us to walk with Him in healing, even those relationships, but definitely ourselves. Again, important to do, kind of complicated to make it happen. So if you're struggling with any of that kind of thing in your life today, and we all have at some point, give us a call and let us connect you with more of God's grace and good practical steps that will work for you. Here today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share, do you feel resentful towards somebody who hurt you? Yeah, it can be hard to admit, but the fact is we've all been there. Maybe you're struggling to let go of the pain of the way that person treated you. Their disrespect, their dismissiveness, their betrayal of you or your trust. Maybe you're having a hard time forgiving someone who hurt you and you're not sure how to move past the pain, even though you want to. Or for that matter, maybe somebody's holding on to a grudge or grievance against you and you're not sure how to reconcile with them. We want to help you get past the pain and experience the healing that God wills for you. 877-573-7825. The show's titled Grudges and Grievances, as we talk about those hurts that people commit against us and what it takes to heal and move forward. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that and how could it possibly help you deal with grudges and grievances? Well, you've come to the right place. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question. Basically, he said, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, etc., what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships?
Well, when we look at the theology of the body, one of the things that it does is that it reminds us that we are called to build a community of love with all the people in our lives. But to do that, we need to learn to deal honestly with the fact that we're living in a fallen world where sometimes, a lot of times, we will sin. And we will hurt one another. Grudges are what happen when we stay locked in the pain that of those past hurts. They stop us from healing. Not just the relationship, but as I was saying, our very selves as well. We're often afraid to let go of old hurts because we think it means that we have to pretend that our pain isn't just and that the offense wasn't real. But God doesn't ask us to deny the pain that we are in when other people hurt us. He asks us to bring it to the cross so that following his own example, we can see how to turn the hurtful and destructive actions of others into something miraculous.
You know, the Catechism, paragraph 2843, if you want to look it up yourself, reminds us, quote, it is not within our power not to feel or forget an offense. I'll say that again, because it's the construction of that sentence a little odd. But it's basically what the Catechism is saying. We can't forget or not feel an offense. It goes on to say, but the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and hurt into intercession. Forgiveness isn't the process of pretending that everything's okay, or denying the injustice that's been done to us, or refusing to talk about it ever again. Forgiveness is the process of bringing our pain to God and asking Him to teach us how to respond to it so that we can create opportunities for the offended person to heal and the offender to repent. So true forgiveness doesn't represent the end of the story. It represents the beginning of a process in which we invite God to build something beautiful out of the ruins of sin and pain or broken trust. And that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. The show's titled Grudges and Grievances. Do you feel resentful towards someone who's hurt you? Maybe you're struggling to let go of the pain of the way they treated you, their disrespect, their dismissiveness, their betrayal of you or your trust. Maybe you're having a hard time figuring out what it means to forgive that person, and you're not quite sure how to move past the pain, even if you want to. And then, of course, there are the times when we've hurt someone, and they're holding a grudge or grievance against us, and we're not sure how to reconcile with them. However this topic is affecting you and your relationships, We want to help you get past the pain and experience the healing that God wills for you. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you those people who have hurt us, those people who have caused an injury in some way that's hard for us to get past. And we bring you the resentment and the hurt and the anger and the frustration and the disappointment and all the rest of it. And we ask you to make something wonderful out of it. Show us how to respond to those situations in ways that will really glorify you, that will help us be our best, and help us challenge those who hurt us to be their best as well. And show us, Lord, how to heal those wounds, even when we can't reconcile with the person who hurt us, especially. Show us all the ways that you have in mind that will lead us to healing, to forgiveness, and to wholeness once again through your grace. We surrender our grudges and grievances and place them at your feet, and we ask you to make something beautiful out of the mess. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, grudges and grievances. We're talking about those times when somebody you care about or somebody in your life has hurt you, and it's hard to move past it. You know, even if you want to, you just can't quite seem to get past the resentment, the pain, the frustration, the hurt. Or for that matter, if somebody's hurt you, if you've hurt somebody else and they are having a hard time forgiving you, what do we do? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I was calling because I have two sisters who defied my mother's wishes and had her intubated against her will. And
you mean having a feeding tube? When you say intubated, I just want to be clear about what. Well, I just want to be clear what you mean. She had a feeding tube.
Was this for breathing, for feeding her? What did they do that was against her wishes?
When I left her at the hospital, she's had like ongoing issues with her blood pressure where it was surgical high. So then typically what they would do is keep her in the emergency room, observation room overnight to make sure she was stabilized before they released her. So I left her about 11 o'clock at night, and my one sister from out of town decided she was going to stay with her. And so something happened, supposedly, around 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And so she calls my other sister to come to the hospital, and they make the decision to intubate my mother, even though I'm the one with the medical power of attorney, because my mother, she gave that to me, and after a while I just finally asked, I said, why did you name me instead of especially my older sister? And she said, because you'll do what I want you to do. Mm. And so I just found the whole thing very deceitful, and when I finally called them out on it, because I think that intubation actually led to her death because she fought the tube so hard, it was very traumatic to watch her go through that. And
Kathy, I just have it. When you say intubated, though, was this for breathing? Was this a feeding tube?
It was for breathing.
Okay. So, okay. Thank you. I just want to clarify with the moral issue.
Breathing before, so it was really bizarre as to like what caused the necessity to be intubated. But once she was intubated, and by the time I found out, like 8 hours had passed easily, maybe even longer, before I got to the hospital and told them they need to remove it because there was no authority for them to do that. But then it damaged her heart so badly that you know, she was finished, for lack of any other word.
So your mom, has passed.
They don't think they've done anything wrong.
So your mom has passed on now.
I'm a bad person. Yes, she passed that next morning.
I'm sorry for your loss.
The bad person for having her disconnected, for lack of any other word, or unintubated, even though that was her wishes all along.
And how long ago was this now?
It's been 6 years, and I've tried to, I mean, I really have done a lot of praying about it, and I've kind of like for my own peace of mind, but they just keep like throwing these little jabs in and everything, and it's just very challenging and difficult.
So your question is what then? How it's more about forgiving them or how to
like,
get them to be a better...
How can I don't think I can help them. They have to help themselves. But I guess how can I, like, stop internalizing the pain that they keep shoving my way? Because
tell me more about that. If you feel that you were following your mother's wishes and it was a moral choice, how do you internalize it? What makes you take that in?
Like I'm the evil one. Like, I did something I shouldn't have done.
Right, well, that's what they're saying, but I guess what I'm saying is, what's the conversation that goes on inside your head that makes you take that into your heart?
Just, like, I feel ultimate betrayal from them because, you know, we used to have a very close relationship, and now we don't.
I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to jump in with it. Yeah. It sounds like you're asking both how to forgive them and how to not internalize this, which are sort of two different things. And so just because of the time that we've got, I just want to focus on the forgiving them piece of it. And I'll throw out maybe a thought or two here about the forgiving yourself part too. The reality is, you know, when we're losing someone that we care about, we have a tendency to go into a reactive mindset where we're not really thinking rationally and calmly. We're thinking, what do I need to do to fix this situation and keep this person that I love? And all of you were doing the best that you knew how to do in that situation. And that's where that's what you all need to hold on to, that you were all trying to love your mother in the way you knew how, and that you disagree about what that really means, but that the intention behind all of this was to love your mom. And I think that when it comes to dealing with your sisters, especially if they're making those barbs, I think it's important to say, listen, I could just as easily be resentful toward you for not respecting our mom's wishes, but I know that what you did out of love. And I'm asking you to recognize that what I did out of love as well. And that we were all trying to love her the best way we knew how. And if we could all at least agree on that and forgive each other, it would mean a lot to me, because I love you and I'd love to have a close relationship with you. And this resentment that we're holding against each other is not what she would have wanted. And if we really do love mom, then we need to respect her wishes now and learn how to love each other moving forward. And I think that's really going to address both of those questions then, Kathy. You know, how to address the barbs that your sisters throw at you, how to not take it internally. The reality is each of you was doing what you knew how to do to be loving to your mom. And you disagree about what that really is, and, you know, people can disagree. But the point is, there was love behind those decisions and love behind those choices. And your mother would have wanted you to love each other moving forward. This is not this dissension, this resentment, this is not the legacy that she would have wanted to leave.
Absolutely.
And I would ask you to challenge yourself and your sisters to reflect on that what loving your mother means now, moving forward for your relationships.
And the anger that you are feeling is masked grief. We here in the States do not get taught how to deal with grief. And because we don't know what it is and how to deal with it well, We look for another name for it so that we can feel powerful and not feel overwhelmed by it, and we turn it into anger against the people who are around us when we lose that person or when we're feeling that grief. So really have that conversation that Greg is talking about with your sisters and see if you can make some headway toward honoring your mother by loving each other and healing your relationships.
All right, Kathy, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on More to Life. And with that, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about grudges and grievances. Are unresolved grudges or resentments getting in the way of your relationships in some way? Whether you're holding those grudges or resentments against somebody in your life, or someone's holding those grudges and resentments against you, let's talk about how to heal and move forward at 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup from the National Catholic Singles Conference. She'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on how to move past those grudges and resentments. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, grudges and grievances. We're talking about the resentments that we hold toward people who've hurt us and the resentments they have against us for hurting them. How can we forgive, heal, and move on? That's what we're talking about. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. Hey, Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Well, you work a lot with single Catholics, and you, of course, you're an expert on the theology of the body as well. What are some of the ways that the grudges and grievances can really affect your work with singles or just, you know, single Catholics in particular?
Sure. No, that's a great question. I mean, I think this applies to a lot of people, whether you're single or not, in some respect. But one thing I always like to remember is that when we hold grudges, we are actually letting that person have power over us in our own emotional life. And I've struggled with it myself, but I think, I don't know, it was my dad or somebody who told me that one time, and I've thought about it a lot since then. You know, I don't, especially if I have been hurt by that person, I'm like, I don't want to let them continue hurting me and put me in a space mentally and emotionally that I'm actually not the best person that I can be, and not as loving, not as fruitful, not as, you know, free. And so when we look at relationships and future relationships, I think that's really important, because in order to have a good marriage, if we're looking for marriage as a single person, then we need to be in the best spot possible, and we're honestly more attractive that way. But if, you know, we need to practice letting go of things, especially for a future marriage. And if I, you know, meet somebody and it's somebody that, oh, maybe I want to date them. Well, if I find out, well, they're holding grudges against multiple people, or, you know, they have this unforgiveness, like, that's a red flag, because I don't want to be in a relationship with somebody that's not going to forgive me, because I know I'm going to fail, right? So I need to marry somebody that can forgive. I think those are a couple ways. And thirdly, it affects how we see future relationships, because if, you know, if I'm holding a grudge against, you know, some family member or something because of something they did to me, I might look at future people that I come across and I meet and like, oh, well, maybe they're going to hurt me that way too. And if we're
even past dating partners, for example, you know. I mean, so, you know, being able to kind of process the hurts from those past relationships that didn't work out really kind of predicts our ability to work through problems in a current relationship. Now, you know, these are the kinds of things that you deal with a lot, though, in your work with the National Catholic Singles Conference, and you have a conference coming up in August. Tell our listeners a bit about that before we have to let you go.
Sure, yeah, very excited. It's our 20th anniversary conference. It's happening in Colorado. Who doesn't want to come to Colorado? August 22nd to the 24th in Denver. And if you can't make it to Denver, we have a virtual option too, but we're going to have lots of dynamic speakers, Mass with the Archbishop, social events, time to, you know, go out and see the city, go hiking, things like that. So nationalcatholicsingles.com.
NationalCatholicSingles.com. Registration is open, and the conference is August 22nd through the 24th in Denver, Colorado. Anastasia, thanks so much for being with us, and we can encourage people to go to NationalCatholicSingles.com. Plus, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825, talking about getting past grudges and grievances. But More to Life continues with your calls right after this.
What constitutes hope? The Catholic Catechism tells us when God fully reveals himself and calls man, man cannot respond on his own. He must hope that God will give him the capacity to love and respond and act in conformity with the commandment of charity. Hope confidently expects divine blessing and the beatific vision of God while fearing to offend him and incur punishment. Despair is a sin against hope, because when a man despairs, he ceases to hope for his eternal salvation, which denies God's goodness, justice, and mercy. The sin of presumption, on the other hand, assumes God will give you forgiveness without conversion and glory without merit, or presumes that man can win his salvation with no supernatural assistance. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. We parents are only human, and that's a good thing. But it also means that sometimes we say and do things around our family that we wish we hadn't. When that happens, have you ever considered apologizing to your child or spouse? It doesn't have to be a big deal. You can say something like, "You know, I can tell I really hurt you when I yelled at you earlier today. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me?" Some parents worry that apologizing might undermine their authority. But for Christians, true authority isn't about power and control. Rather, it flows from trusting, healthy relationships. Asking forgiveness helps to build that good kind of authority. It shows our kids that our relationship with them is based on love, truth, and generosity. Most importantly, it shows that God is the ultimate authority in our home.
When God rules our lives, we don't need to constantly project some false image of our own perfection. We can admit our mistakes because our identity and worth are rooted in our inherent dignity as God's beloved children, a dignity that doesn't depend on our perfection, but rather on God's limitless love for us. To get more help and resources, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Grudges and Grievances. We talk about those resentments that come between us and the people in our lives. Sometimes it's hard to move past those hurts. Let's talk about what it takes. 877-573-7825.
Before we talk to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating an incredible 21 years with us. Wilmington Catholic Radio has three stations serving Wilmington, Bradley Creek, and Porter's Neck, North Carolina.
Congratulations to Bill Hamilton and his whole team. Wilmington Catholic Radio. There we go. Sorry about that, Bill. Wilmington Catholic Radio from all of your friends here at EWTN. And we want to thank all the folks who are supporting EWTN Radio, both the station owners and operators, and you, listeners, for keeping EWTN Radio on the air. And however you are tuning into EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure that you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars, too. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and all the people that you love in living a more faithful and abundant life. And again, thanks so much to Wilmington Catholic Radio and Bill Hamilton and your whole team for all the good work you do to build the kingdom. With that, we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Grudges and Grievances. I mean, the fact is, it can be hard to get past the resentment that we feel, the hurt that we feel when other people hurt us in some way. It can also be difficult to help others get past the hurts we've caused against them. However grudges and grievances are affecting your relationships, let us help you find grace-filled ways to get past the pain and experience the healing that God wills for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with John, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Omaha, Nebraska, on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hey, John. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. So about 4 or 5 years ago, my wife, my daughter, who was in her young 20s at the time, we were all living with my wife's brother and his wife and their family. Just the last year that we were living there was kind of a big blow up between my sister-in-law and my wife. My wife was doing something very well-intentioned, trying to help a situation out. The sister-in-law misread the situation incorrectly, was absolutely very, very mean, vindictive, and nasty towards my wife. She had in the past done some not so nice things to my daughter and everything. And I understand she probably had a very difficult childhood. So anyway, I'm military. We've moved a number of times since then. And we are now facing a family get together for a wedding. And my daughter, my wife and I kind of had a little bit of a blow up because my daughter is still really harboring a lot of resentment. My daughter herself has had some health challenges, which has made her very, she has trust issues. She's very devout Catholic.
I didn't hear what you said. She has what issues? I apologize. Say that again.
So she just has some health issues. She's very weak all the time. And struggles. She's not able to do a lot of the things physically that other people her age have been able to do, and it's been going on for about 10 years now.
So
we were talking this weekend about plans and everything, and my daughter was just, I don't want to be around her, and my wife told her, you know, she did something to me, not to you. This is for me to deal with. I've forgiven her. And, you know, as the argument or discussion, I should say, went on, I had made a comment, thought I was being a good Catholic and saying, you know, it's not ours to judge. It's only God's to judge. And then both my wife and I kind of turned on me and said, see, it's okay for us to judge people's actions. And I'm sorry, I don't even know why I threw that in, probably a little defense of me. But what I'm looking for is some help from my daughter that I can point her to, a book of yours or something. I think I've heard you mention a couple, but kind of letting things go, moving forward, not being judgmental, not.
Basically, yeah. All right. Well, so let's talk about.
I try to give them better.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I think that's all good. And you know, your intentions are you know, very good here. But let's talk about kind of what it really means to kind of forgive, to let go, and how maybe you can help your daughter. And then I will offer some recommendations for some reading too. You know, I guess where I'd start with her though is by asking her what exactly she's hurting about and what it would take for her to feel like it was safe to let go of that hurt. You know, the main reason that we tend to hold on to hurts is because it's our way of making sure we don't get hurt the same way again. And, you know, there's something about that experience that your daughter took very personally. And even though it was between your wife and your sister-in-law, it affected your daughter in some way. And I think the first step is stepping back and saying, look, help. I mean, obviously, yes, it was between your mom and your aunt, but clearly this hurt you somehow. Can you help me understand, you know, what you took from that experience, and what you're afraid would happen if you let it go? And she might initially say, well, I don't know, I'm not afraid of anything. It's like, but, and then maybe share with her what I said to you, that the fact is that we hold on to our hurts because we're afraid if we let those hurts go, that person could hurt us in a similar way in the future. And until we can figure out a healthier way to protect ourselves, a healthier way to know that we're strong enough to stand up to whatever that offense is, we have a tendency to hold on to those hurts to protect ourselves. Right? You see what I'm saying? So the conversation you want to have with your daughter is not so much, hey, you don't have a right to be upset by this, or, hey, you need to get past this already. But rather, what exactly, you know, help me understand what exactly the offense was in your eyes and what it would take to help you feel strong enough to protect yourself in healthier ways so that you wouldn't have to hold on to this pain anymore as a way of protecting yourself. Because that's what's really going on here. And she, you know, she feels steamrolled by you and your mom, you and your wife, because she doesn't, you know, she doesn't feel heard, and you guys are like, well, why would she be bothered by this? I don't know, but that's where we want to start by asking that question. In terms of the whole idea of that, you know, it's not our place to judge. You're all right, okay, in the sense that, you know, we can judge your wife and your daughter are correct that we can judge actions. We're called to not hold offenses against other people, and that's the kind of judgment that God is talking about there. But that does not mean that we can't hold people responsible for what they've done. It doesn't mean that we have to pretend that they haven't hurt us when in fact they have. What do not judge means is not condemning a person for having committed an offense against us, but rather working with them to heal the offense if they're willing to do that work. But I am allowed certainly to hold somebody accountable for what they did, to insist that they repair the damage that they did, to acknowledge the offense they committed. None of those things are judgmental. All of those things are holding somebody properly accountable for their actions so that they can repent and heal from it. You know, if we love somebody, that means we work for their ultimate good. And it's not working for somebody's ultimate good to just give them a pass on the hurtful things that they do to other people. You know, if it's a one-off kind of a deal, we can give that person some space so they can self-correct. But ideally, that person recognizes what they did, and they do make up for it. But if somebody, you know, has, you know, committed a serious offense against somebody else, or, you know, is habitually offensive in some way, it's not judgmental to say, hey, I really need you to look at this, and I'm going to hold you accountable until you do. And that might even mean saying I can't be around them because I don't feel safe around them. And that's, to come back full circle here, that's basically what your daughter is saying. She doesn't feel safe around her aunt for some reason. We need to figure out what that reason is, and is there a healthier way to help her feel safe around her aunt without having to hold on to the pain anymore? You asked for a book recommendation, and really I would suggest my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, because it's all about how we can move past the pain and set appropriate boundaries that both protect us and lead to the possibility of reconciliation. So again, that book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. John, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you once you've tried to have this conversation with your daughter, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. We'd be happy to help. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about grudges and grievances. Are unresolved resentments getting in the way of your relationships? Either your resentments toward people who have hurt you, or the resentments people have toward you for the hurts that you've caused. How can we heal and move forward? 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15.
See to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled.
And this kind of goes to what John's talking about, you know, in his call, you know, this idea of judgment and being bitter or resentful. You know, St. Paul is reminding us that this root of bitterness can really cause not just trouble for us, but for others as well, as they get pulled into the vortex of the drama that we cause because of our bitterness. And so, yeah, it's important for us to figure out how to move past that. But it's that process isn't magical either. It's not just that I can say, well, I'm not going to feel hurt anymore, and I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen. The Catechism says that we can't do that. And it wouldn't be just to do that, right? What this really verse is talking about is recognizing that when we commit offenses against each other, that we are dealing with those offenses in a forthright and honest manner. Everybody's taking responsibility for what they need to do to heal the damage, and they're cooperating with God's grace to make things right again.
Yeah. It's really about when this scripture says, see to it that no root of bitterness. You know, I'm doing a lot of gardening this summer. And when you're gardening and you have to get rid of the weeds in your garden, I know I'm really relieved when it's just some root that's, you know, right on the top. It's shallow-rooted weed. I can get it out, make sure it's, you know, tossed far, far away, and I don't have to deal with it anymore. It's instantaneously dealt with because it's a very shallow root. When we are open to dealing with things quickly and really resolving them, the root can't go deep. Now, just like past hurts that have been around a while and they've been festering, sometimes those roots can go very deep, both in those grudges and in those weeds in our garden. But you still can handle it by doing the work, digging deeper to get the weed out of your garden. Maybe, you know, using a tool or some kind of, you know, something that's going to destroy that root. But you can do the work in the garden, and we are called to do that in our hearts as well and in our relationships. So if you're feeling like those grudges are getting kind of deep and making you or somebody else bitter, let's start doing that work together today. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
With that, we'll be back with more of your calls coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Grudges and Grievances. As we talk about those unresolved resentments that can poison our relationships and poison our hearts, if you are feeling resentful towards someone who's hurt you, or you're dealing with someone else's resentment for the hurts you've caused, we want to help you get past those grudges and grievances and experience the healing that God has in His heart for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Terry, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hey, Terry. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for taking this call. My question is, this is a sort of a lifelong challenge that I've had with my mother. She has borderline personality disorder and won't get help. And it's, you know, the thought of forgiveness is something that's been a lifelong challenge for me because, you know, they have a tendency to be very violent and wicked. And that violence.
So what does forgiveness, what would forgiveness mean to you? What do you feel like forgiving your mother requires of you?
Well, the question is, you know, I know that at least I've learned, and I don't know if this is accurate, and that's my question. Mm-hmm. You know, to forgive is also to forbear, right? So to not add to the situation, you know. I've tried a lot of boundaries work and, you know, have done, you know, quite a bit of work. But the most recent sort of episode has caused us to not talk. And the stonewalling, I think, is happening because she wants me to feel guilty, which is a way of attaching to my soul, you know, and I want to walk away from the situation completely peacefully and gracefully, and there's this guilt in me, but at the same time I'm not guilty of anything, you know. It's just that I can't participate in this evil. I can't participate, and I won't pretend.
So
like
your question is, what would it mean to forgive your mom, and you know, what does it mean practically
move
for your
forward
relationship at this point? Okay. All right. So we'll start there. And so, you know, like we were saying with John, you know, forgiving somebody does not mean pretending that what they do is not offensive, and it doesn't mean not holding them accountable either. You know, forgiveness means, and this is St. Augustine, right? St. Augustine said, the forgiveness is when we surrender our natural desire for revenge. In other words, when we stop trying to or wanting the other person to hurt for having hurt us. We've forgiven them.
Right. That's not it's letting go of them, you wanting them to be hurt. It's not letting go of wanting them to get the help they need, to heal, to at least attempt to be a better person, to be accountable. It's not letting go of any of that.
So, for example, if somebody commits a crime against me, I could forgive that person but still want them to go to jail for it. And that's perfectly appropriate because that consequence of their actions may be what that person needs to repent and heal. Right, so I'm working for their good by insisting that they be accountable for what they did.
Now, if we sit around rejoicing in all the horrible things that could happen to them in jail, that's wanting them to hurt. That's wanting
that would be
more
unforgiveness,
revenge.
Right?
That's unforgiveness.
So in your case, right, you're saying your mom, who has an untreated borderline personality disorder, which for folks who aren't aware of what that is, it tends to be somebody who's very chaotic, who is very poor impulse control, who tends to lash out, but can be very sweet 1 minute, but just terribly awful the next minute, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's very difficult to have a stable relationship with somebody like this. It's very hard to predict how they're going to behave from 1 second to the next. And so, you know, in your relationship with your mom, Terry, the most loving thing that you could do is have strong structures that say, I can be with you when you're healthy and treat me this way. I cannot be around you if you're unhealthy and you treat me this way. And you're very clear with her about what your boundaries are. And that might even mean, you know, I can't be around you at all. Or I can only have a relationship with you that's, you know, text-based. Or I can only see you in public places. Or I could see you as long as these conditions exist, but I can't. But even in those situations, I can't talk about X, Y, and Z because you end up using that against me. Like so whatever those boundaries are, as long as those boundaries are ordered to your good, the good of your relationship with your mom and her good, challenging her to be healthier, then you're okay. You're doing what you need to be doing. And there's nothing to feel guilty about. The only thing that would be that you could feel guilty about is if you were being unforgiving by wishing bad things to happen to her or going out of your way to cause harm to her for the harms that she for the hurts that she's caused you. That would be unforgiveness. But by saying, listen, I want the best for my mom, and I really wish that she would recognize how damaged she is and get the help that she needs. And because of that, I have to set these boundaries with her because she's not a safe person to be around in these contexts or in general. And therefore, I have to, you know, put up these limits that continue to make this an issue for her and keep me safe from her. That is not unforgiveness, and there's nothing to feel guilty about with that, because you're working for her good, for your good, and the ultimate good of the relationship by setting those boundaries. Now, she may choose never to accept that invitation that those boundaries give toward healing, but that's not your responsibility. You can't make her heal. God can't make us heal, right? God extends the invitation to all of us, you know, to enter into a relationship with him and to enjoy eternal life with him. And he gave us everything. He
including
himself out
free
of the cross.
Will, unfortunately. And many of us get that invitation from God and we go, nope, I want to do this on my own. I want to suffer. I want to be miserable. I want to try something else. But free will is also something that extends into our relationship. So if you do all these things, you set these boundaries, and she still doesn't accept the invitation of that to look at herself and say, okay, it's time for me to do some work on this and get some help, that's not anything that you've done wrong. It's that she is choosing, as many of us do, to not accept grace.
So, Terry, I hope that those qualifications can help you let go of some of that guilt that you're feeling about the boundaries you set with your mom, and I hope that they'll guide you moving forward. And I'm going to suggest to you the same book I was suggesting to our previous caller, John. God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's the book that I did on kind of a Catholic approach to boundaries that enable us to set the kind of boundaries that protect us from the chaos and the drama while still leaving the door open to healthy ways to be in relationship in the future, should the other person accept that invitation. And again, that's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. As we come to the end of our program here on Grudges and Grievances, I want to be clear that feeling hurt from the hurts someone committed against you is not a grudge. Right? Refusing to do the work of healing either on yourself or to try to extend an invitation to the other person to heal. That's what holding a grudge is. As long as if you still feel hurt, but you are trying to do your best to heal and you've extended an invitation to the other person who hurt you to work on that relationship, even if they've rejected it, you're doing what God's asked you to do and you have nothing to feel guilty about. So there's a difference between feeling the hurt and holding a grudge. And if you're struggling to get past either the hurt or, you know, a grudge, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life through the light of God's grace. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.